just how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, he'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen.
All right, let's remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer and thank God for being with us today. Amen. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. There am I. Brother Raul, would you lead us, please, in prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your goodness, your love, your faithfulness, above all for our salvation. Father, this morning we submit this time into your hand, and we thank you for your presence here this morning. Pray that all that is said and done, Father, be for your honor and glory. We magnify the name of Jesus. In his name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And Mark is going to have a Bible reading here for us. And while I'm thinking about it, I want to remind you that next Sunday now we're going to be having a guest speaker here for our morning service. One of our missionaries coming in from the Dominican Republic is going to be here with us and be bringing us a message from God's Word and giving us a report of what's going on the foreign field, okay? Brother Matt Patton will be here. All right, Brother Mark, where'd he go? How many does it take to push a button?
Morning, everyone. I have a short scripture this morning. I'm reading out of the New International Version, so it's not the King James, but I always check with the King James, and it's almost word for word, but just an easier word for me to understand. So this is 1 John, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and his desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
I wasn't quick enough on my phone to get there. Amen. Let's turn over to, 383.
Thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son.
Amen. Would you all rise and turn over to number 519, 519, and we'll have our offering after this hymn.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen.
Brother Bob, will you lead our prayer, please? Amen. Brother Johnny, do you have a song for us this morning? While he's coming up, I'll remind you of our services tonight at 6 o'clock. Come out and be with us. And then on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be having our second study on Mormonism. You don't have to, when you see these guys riding bicycles by, you don't have to invite them into your house to give you a lesson on Mormonism. Just come to the Bible Baptist Church, and we'll give you a lesson on Mormonism. Last Wednesday night, we studied about the history of Mormonism, where it started, et cetera, et cetera. And we will be getting into the doctrines of Mormonism this coming Wednesday night. And if you take up their doctrine, one of the major ones that they have is plurality of wives. I look out here, and if Joseph Smith were here this morning, he would have, sitting on this side with 50 of his wives. And if Brigham Young were sitting over on this side, he would have, I think, about 56 or something like that of his wives with him. So, you see, when you have Mormons, you don't need too many. Just these two guys and their wives would fill up this whole auditorium here. So, anyway, come sing for us.
Good morning, everyone. You know what, as I read God's precious holy word, and when conviction come upon me, you know, the flesh, my old nature, says, no, don't pay attention to that. Amen. But the Holy Spirit that dwells within me says, yes, Lord, yes, To your will and to your way, I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Lord, I gave you all the glory for you've given me. You have filled my life until I overflow. All I have is yours to you. Now any way you choose, you are Lord of all. So how can I say no? So I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. Now when your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and I'll say yes, Lord, yes, oh yeah. Now if I never knew the fullness of living in your will, I would never know how rich my life could be. Lord, my willingness to serve is the least that you deserve for the blessing that you have poured over me. So I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. Now when your spirit speaks to me, and with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Oh, my answer will be yes. Lord, my answer will be yes, my Lord. Yes. Yes, I will. I will do it, Heavenly Father. Even though my nature says no, I'm going to do what my God commands me to do. Praise God.
Sue, is next Sunday the day we have some special music from Charlene?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
All right.
If it
works out. We may have some special music next Sunday. Charlene's going to be here, hopefully. She's been intending to come for several weeks, but finally I think she's going to get around to being with us and bring us another good song when she comes. We appreciate her presence when she comes and sings for us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to use verse 8 as our text because it's got a statement in here that I want to enlarge upon, so to speak. This one verse says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Take two words out of that I want to talk about this morning. Great joy. Great joy. That's a commodity that seems to be in short supply in our day and age. Joy. A lot of people think joy is having fun. So they're out having fun, looking for joy. A lot of people don't know. Well, I guess fun is a worldly type of joy, is it? I haven't had any fun in a long time. You can tell. There's some people that are doing things that bring pleasure to them. I guess pleasure is a sort of a form of joy. And some people, they're happy. Happiness. There are incidents in our life that make us happy. We smile, we laugh, we're full of joy. Happiness is a lot like joy, isn't it? I think real joy is a sense of being. I think there are lots of Christians who really sincerely have joy. Joy in their soul. They're just not letting it show on the outside. They keep it pinned up inside. I was surprised whenever I opened the Bible and started reading about joy as to how much the Bible has to say about it. It would almost seem like God wants His people to be happy. Laughing, having fun, enjoying life. So I started reading some of the scriptures that have to do with joy. Too much sorrow, let's look for some joy. And I started off with this account right here in Matthew 28, verse 8. Just think. Early in the morning, on the morning of the third day since Jesus had been buried, that was a Sunday morning. Sun hadn't even come up yet. It was early. These women got together and said, let's go to the tomb where they buried Jesus the other day. Let's take some spices over there and anoint his dead body. So they did. They got their spices together. And they went over. They knew where it was. They were there when he was buried. They saw Joseph and Nicodemus as they laid his body to rest in Joseph's new tomb, where nobody else had ever been buried. I can see it now. It's daylight. They approach this garden tomb. I've been there. In my mind, I got a picture of it out there on the wall. Take a look at it. They come up to this tomb, and all of a sudden, the ground begins to shake under their feet. There's an earthquake. It's a great earthquake, just like there's great joy. It nearly knocks them off their feet. You've been in earthquakes. We're California people. We know what earthquakes are. It's the Texas people that's got to learn how to swim. We have to learn to keep our footing whenever the ground begins to shake. Oh, they were scared. They were all shook up. But their fear didn't last very long. because an even greater thing occurred that distracted their attention from the earthquake. What could that be? Here comes an angel down from heaven, and he goes to this tomb that's got a big rock rolled over the entrance to it. It's been sealed by the Roman soldiers. They're still on guard out here. This angel doesn't pay them no mind. He comes and he rolls that stone away from the door, and he sits upon it. And they forget all about this earthquake. We don't even know how long it lasted. They were interested now in this angel, because from this exalted place, this stone he's sitting on, he makes an announcement to them. An announcement that has been carried around the world. Here it is. Fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He knew why they were there. He tells them, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Then the invitation. He says, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. And that is when they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Now the fear that they were feeling was the fear of unbelief. This sounded too good to be true. Their minds have to absorb all this. He is risen from the dead. I like those words, quickly and run, because that infers the idea of haste. Something is to be done in a hurry. Now they believed that what they had seen and what they had heard was true, and they're acting upon it. But they had come in unbelief, bringing spices with them to anoint his dead body. This is an abrupt change in their plans. The only thing they'd feared so far was how they were going to get into the sepulcher. I think the Lord sometimes delights in doing things that surprise us, don't you? Does he ever surprise you by the things that he does? Yes, he does, doesn't he? Especially when he comes along and gives us more than we can ask or think. I call this the joy of disappointed unbelief. We've all experienced something like this. Something unusual, but good. Something that's not expected. It comes as a surprise. So here they are, experiencing great joy. But there's another joy associated with this, and that's the joy of resurrection. His resurrection from the dead is a confirmation of every claim that Jesus had made during his ministry. Do you know that? And that's a cause for joy. That's a cause for great joy. It would have been so easy to have believed the story that these soldiers who were guarding the tomb were paid to give. While we were asleep, his disciples came and stole his body out of the tomb. And now then they're spreading the rumor that he's risen from the dead. But we saw them. They stole his body out of the grave and hid it somewhere. We don't know where. Isn't that a lot easier to believe than he's risen from the dead? I can imagine grave robbers coming. How'd they get in without breaking the seal? I don't know. Anyway, when the disciples went in, they saw the neatness of the grave. They saw the grave clothes lying there that his body had been wrapped in. They saw the napkin that had been laid over his face, neatly folded and lying in a place by itself. Grave robbers don't do things like that. But there was no excitement or confusion about such a tremendous event as this was. Neither were there any eyewitnesses. You know, it had been previously announced by the Lord Jesus Christ, not once or twice, but several times. But when it actually happened, their doubt, their unbelief, kept them from witnessing the greatest event that this world has ever seen. I just don't know how in the world Jesus could slip into the world and be born a babe in Bethlehem when the Bible had foretold it so many times years before. I don't understand how. Nobody was there on the morning of the third day except those soldiers who were on duty. When Jesus had told them in no uncertain terms, time after time after time, third day. You watch it, the third day, I'm coming out of the grave. Not a one of us, not even out of curiosity. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that, but I'm going to go down there just to make sure that my belief is right. Not even curiosity brought them down there. No one was there. No one. Even the soldiers missed seeing it. I don't know about you, but I believe that the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ confirms every doctrine that he taught, every miracle that he performed, and every hope that he inspired. And I'll tell you something. It gives me assurance of my own resurrection. Day before yesterday, when Susie and I stood out there on Rita's grave, it's going to be mine too, you know, if Jesus tarries his coming and if I die. I stood there without a thread of doubt or suspicion. But what the words of Christ are true. And I could just picture myself in that grave. It's already got my name on the tombstone, you know. I mean, it's ready. Only just the body is missing. But it's there. Let me tell you something. I have hope. I have trust. I have confidence in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the time's coming when I'll hear his voice and I'll come out of the grave. I believe in resurrection. I'm sorry if you don't. Now, we have the joy of beholding victory. I remember when I went over there in 1994, I went into that sacred place, saw with my own two eyes where the body of Jesus had been laid. Oh, that's a fascinating place. I could have stayed there. I could have stayed there. Beautiful. Listen, there's no place that Jesus went but what he didn't leave. Evidence of his presence. You could feel it in the air. It was there. And I looked at that place where the body of Jesus had laid. And I thought of the victory. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead and walked out of death into everlasting eternal life. No one had ever done that before. He was the first fruits of all them that slept. There's also a political victory there. Because the power of the Roman seal on that tomb was broken, and those Roman soldiers were made helpless by a greater power that broke it. And there was a natural or national victory for the kingdoms of this world. The Bible says, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Move over, boys. The King of Kings is here. There's also a moral victory. A moral victory over the forces of evil that had prevailed for a short time, as the demons of darkness had danced with glee when Jesus gave up the ghost and died. But their joy was short-lived. Death has gone down in defeat. The power of death is broken. Paul would say, O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? There's joy of victory. And then we have the joy of telling others. I like that. Do you notice here? They did run to bring his disciples word. We just celebrated Memorial Day, honoring the fallen. And we may admire Jesus as a hero. We may honor him as a martyr for his cause. We may canonize him as a saint. But the greatest joy is telling others about a risen Lord. They did run to bring the disciples word. And I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ today, it started off running. Read the first few chapters of the book of Acts. running day after day after day. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Every day. But it slowed down, didn't it? Slowed down a little. Let's just have church once a week. That'll give us 6 days to do our thing. And then we'll dedicate one day a week to the Lord. It's cutting it down a little bit. You don't want to get too religious, you know. Somebody will think you're a fanatic. And then some of them say, well, even one day a week is too often. How about Easter and Christmas? There you go. The joy of telling others. You know why I like our missionaries? Because every day they're in the streets, the marketplaces, the homes, telling people about Jesus. The joy of telling others. You see somebody out here that's lost. They're spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins. And you know in your heart what the Bible teaches, that when they die without Christ, they'll go to hell. But Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. And he rose from the dead the third day. Now let's go quickly and tell people that Jesus is alive. We serve a living Savior. We have the joy of a risen Lord. Those women there didn't see him that morning, but they had the word of the angel that he was alive. Mary Magdalene came back later, alone. And she looked inside that tomb. It was still empty. She was weeping. She didn't know what had happened. Someone spoke to her. Woman, why weepest thou? She didn't recognize his voice. She didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. Sir, if you have moved his body, where'd you put it? Let me know and I'll go get it. Jesus called her name. And she recognized his voice when he called her name. She fell at his feet and worshiped him. That same day, two disciples who knew him were walking with him down the road to a place called Emmaus. Jesus began to teach them. They didn't recognize him either. Did you know that? The Bible says he taught them. A good Bible lesson. He taught them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Finally, they got to their destination. They turned in, went in, sat down at a table in the restaurant, ordered some food. Jesus sitting there. He bowed his head and he blessed the food. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And poof, he was gone, and there was nothing but an empty chair there. that evening in an upper room in Jerusalem, the disciples mourned and wept. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared in their midst. They were frightened. They were scared. They were terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. He showed them his hands and his feet. And they believed not for joy. I'm sure they got comfort from hearing what the angel had said and what the women had seen, but the real joy came with his divine presence. I can't wait to say it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How can we meet together in fellowship? How can we bring our gifts in worship and adoration? How can we blend our voices in harmony, singing the songs of praise? How can we lift our hearts in prayer and open our ears to the hearing of God's word as it is preached and not acknowledge the presence of God in our midst? That ought to be number one. Brethren, we have met to worship, and God is in our midst. How sad to have a risen Christ with us, to walk with us, and we're not even conscious of his presence. When he reveals himself to us in the scriptures as we read his word, and our hearts begin to burn within us, but we don't recognize him. We're missing out on the greatest joy that there is in the world. Having a God who is with us always, I will never leave you nor forsake you. One more and I'll close. There's the joy of anticipation. Jesus told the women, he says, go tell my disciples that they shall see me in Galilee. Tell my disciples that they shall see me. Isn't that wonderful? When and where we don't know, just Galilee. But it's a promise that they would soon see him. Are we not partakers of that same joy? 40 days later, our Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven from the Mount of Olives. The disciples were with him. They watched him as he went up. Two special men, messengers from God, dressed in white robes, stood there. You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, listen to these words, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. what he says. The joy of anticipation. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that what he said? It's the words of Christ. John on the Isle of Patmos heard a voice saying, come up hither. Three little words. How do I get up there, Lord? With the invitation, with the command, comes the ability. Immediately he was with the Lord in heaven. Come up hither. The joy of anticipation. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the joy of meeting him in the air is enhanced by the joy of meeting others that will go up with us at the same time. Jesus said, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when he comes. A reunion. The best is yet to come. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the joy that these words of comfort and strength give us. We thank you for your blessed word and the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us confidence in your ability to keep your word. Oh, what a day that will be. And what a joy we have in our hearts. I hope, Lord, that there's not a one today in this congregation that walks out of this building without joy in their hearts and in their souls. Oh, it just makes us feel good all over, better than anywhere else, to know that you are our God, that you love us, and that we're going to spend eternity with you because of Jesus. If there is one single person in this auditorium today that does not know you in the free pardon and forgiveness of their sin, Lord, let this be the day when they will cast aside their doubts and their suspicions and take God at his word and trust him and rely upon his promises of forgiveness of sin and of everlasting life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Save people today, Lord. Bring people back to you. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
496.
Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today.
He's calling today. Will you come?
Why, will you come? Sunshine?
Will you come? Listen to the still small voice of the Lord as He speaks to your heart.
Jesus is calling.
Will you come? Will you come? Let's sing another verse. Someone today is on the verge of making a decision. It will change your life and possibly the eternal destiny of your immortal soul. Will you come? Will you come?
He will not turn you away.
He's calling today. Will you respond to His invitation today?
Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling today.
Thank you. You've been a wonderful congregation today. This is the joy of my life. It's what God's called me to do, is to preach. And I'm glad that He called you to come and listen. I love you. God loves you. And we're going to spend eternity together, aren't we? Amen. Remember the service tonight. Come and be with us. 6 o'clock, okay? Brother Sam Burton, would you lead us in our benediction this morning, please?
Amen.